Blog Talk Radio.
Mother's Day, or as they say in German, Was ist los, Großmutti? What's happening, Big Mama? Anyway, being that it's Mother's Day and it's early, this is almost like a mass for me here today. I thought I would cheer you up a little bit. I just turned on Fox, which is the only channel to watch. When you say Fox to a liberal, you notice their skin changes color. It goes from pink to yellow. Yeah, unbelievable, man. Yeah. Oh, I watch Fox. You know, it's like saying I read the Bible. Yeah. Two things that you should that hold off liberals is Fox News and the Bible. Well, anyway, it's Mother's Day, and so what are they doing? The communists are out there, and they're naming the number one most powerful mother of the year. And guess who it is? It's Hickory. Hickory Quinton. Oh, Hickory. Give me a break. And they're showing her with a picture of Chelsea. Let me tell you something. Never trust a woman with two last names, and never trust a woman who names her child after a train station. Unbelievable. And I'm screaming at the TV. Hillary! I mean Chelsea, where are your brothers and sisters? Oh, that's a cruel thing to say. Yes, we have to defend women's rights. To do what? To kill kids? Murder! The Nuremberg trials call it murder! Chapter 13. I now dedicated chapter 13 in my Spirit of America Party book to mothers. And I have two songs that I play, or you can play, if you go to my website, Spirit of America Party Radio Show.com. And the two songs that I dedicate to mothers are Two Love Ways and One Great Love. Beautiful songs. Sure beats that mumbo jumbo. Or as me dad used to call it, monkey music. Anyway, I have a picture of Molly Pitcher. Molly Pitcher, I think it's the Battle of Princeton. Do you know the story of Molly Pitcher? Well, she went out to the battlefield to bring her husband lunch. He was a cannoneer. And when she got there, he was dead. So she ate the lunch, and then she started loading the cannon. And it's a classic Revolutionary War picture. And that's what the American woman is all about. Molly Pitcher took her husband's place on the battlefield. I love rugged women. And that is why I say only women can save the nation. One thing, girls, a word of advice. You should become weapons familiar with handguns. You should take a course on just familiarization of handguns so you won't be afraid of them and you could learn how to use them in case you need one to save your life. Because there's a lot of people out there that want to hurt women, including Hollywood, who makes pictures about women being cut to pieces every other movie. Women have always set the standards. Sadly, too many have chosen to lower the bar. But a culture is judged by the morality of its women. I'm a mama's boy and will always be a mama's boy. And I'll give you the reasons I believe mothers are the true grit of the spirit of America. My book is Spirit of America Party. No one sacrifices more. No one loves us as deeply. No one contributes more than mom. In the beginning of your life, she leads you by the hand. At the end of hers, you will lead her by the hand. My wife says God really knows how to humble us. I once saw a skit where a very successful lawyer politician going over his own net worth workup finally finishes up late and locks up. As he steps out into the hall, he steps over the woman on her knees washing the marble floors, and he says, "Good night, Mom." And she says, "Good night, son." That's terrible, I agree. May it never be a reality. But a mother would do it for a son. A sad story happened just before Mother's Day. An 18-year-old girl dies in a new car accident. She was just given a new car for her 18th birthday. And she killed an innocent bystander. Minutes before the accident, she was seen crying in her car with a guy who got out before she took off. She was the daughter of two doctors, and they brought her into her father's hospital. What can you say that will bring everybody back? Who was not listening? So here's a little poem. It's called Confessions of a Love Slave on St. Valentine's Day. Where charity and love prevail, you will find sweet Sue. God's examples of good life on earth, as she will surely do. Never thinks of herself with so much love to go around. She triumphs on the side of good. She walks on holy ground. She gives away unyielding love. She melts hearts made of stone. She is the working hand of God. With Sue, you're not alone. Simple pleasures make her day. What she has, she shares. Anyone who knows her loves her, because she truly cares. In these days of moral decay, self-serving lies and strife, my early days were truly blessed. In church, I found a wife. She raised five kids by good example as a mother and a bride. No matter where they go today, God's mark they cannot hide. So when life's guarantee expires and I am heaven bound, St. Pete will say he's one of Sue's and other lost but found. To all you St. Valentine Day people feeling lonely and so blue, the wisest decision you will ever make is to find a girl like Sue. Then we go into Gold Star Mothers. To be a Gold Star Mother, your child has to die fighting for your freedom. I don't know if you were watching Fox today, and it was on yesterday, too, and the other channels may carry it. There was a welcome home ceremony in a local high school, in a small town high school for Marines. And as they walked into the auditorium of the school where their families were all gathered, one family, a mother and three children, were waiting on the entrance of their father. And he was a tall, handsome guy. Marine. He walked into the auditorium, and he stopped about 20 feet from him. And his one son, who was about, I think he was 5 or 6 years old, he had palsy, and he tried to walk to his father. If you see this picture, it'll tear you up. And he took about 15, 16 steps, and he was about maybe 2 feet away from his father, and his father jumped up and hugged him. It was beautiful. And if you stop to think about that, here's his father, who could tomorrow be in a wheelchair, missing legs, sitting next to his son, who has palsy. Who's going to take care of the family? That's a big burden. So, Gold Star Mothers. Oh, yeah. Gold Star Mothers went to Washington. And guess which WITCH senator refused to meet with them? Hint, they had no drug money or furniture. Last hint, she voted to burn the flag. Say no more. It's Hillary Clinton. I'm getting sick. Anybody see my boff bag? How do you like the way the Palestinians justify murder? It's an old tactic used by wife beaters. Look what you made me do. They blame Sharon, yet when they were dealing with pussycat Ehud Barak, it was the same old lie. Don't believe anyone who kills American sailors on TWA flights and athletes at an Olympics. They will kill you and me and sip tea at the same time. Now, before my heart gets too hard, happy Ummi, Mother's Day in Arabic. How sad. My mom said, go out and get a job and don't come home until you find one. In the Middle East, it's don't come home. Do the job. And if Arafat and his clones deserve a beating, it should be for mothers. How sad. It's like growing with love and tender care a beautiful flower for 18 years. And one day a stranger comes along and plucks it and says, grow me another. So who was she? Who was this mom of moms? She was from another country in another time. She was not the brightest, but she was sharp. She married a guy from another country in another time also. She was sharper than he was, but he was the head of the house, and she insisted upon it and constantly reminded you of it. He made all the big decisions, such as, should we go to war with Russia? And she made all the little ones on payday when he turned over his paycheck, like paying the rent, buying the kids' clothes, buying and cooking the food, in addition to raising 5 kids and catering to a bachelor brother who lived across the street with their mother. She learned American ways by picking up bits and pieces from the kids coming home from school. A favorite song she used to sing while cleaning the house was Blue Skies. She liked gossip and liked dishing the dirt. She was rich. She had a purple coat. She was on her fourth child. Liberated women would ask her, did you ever think of practicing birth control? And she would respond it was against her religion, but would consider it when she gave birth to number 15. Rhythm was the Catholic form of birth control, and her favorite joke was, where am I going to get a band at 3 in the morning? She would pump you full of Celtic pride. She would have you believing we came from a clan of barons and earls. She was born in Glasgow in the Gardengard district, and as a child on St. Paddy's Day, her mother would tie a big green bow in her hair and send her downstairs to play. And the Protestant kids would beat her up and trash her bow. And she would go upstairs crying to her mother, who would give her a fresh green bow in her hair and send her back down. So it's conditioning, huh? Colors have always been a problem, haven't they? Her father served in the British Army during the Boer War, and they used to vacation in Armagh Island. One at a time, they drifted over to the USA, make a buck, and send another one over, make 2 bucks, and send another one over. Her husband was the only married son of a 4-brother-and-1-sister family from Tipperary. They had a small farm, and to hear his wife talk about it, this was a king's castle, blarney and all. Her greatest pride was her only real estate deal where, with no money down, she bought a cottage on a hill overlooking Greenwood Lake for $5,000, with payments of $60 a month. In her golden years, she sold it for $44,000. Now, just take a look at the situation today. I have three children whose homes are underwater. And the fourth one rents. Think about that. Real estate, was half the American investment, and it's been shattered. It's been almost destroyed. In her golden years, she sold it for $44,000 and banked it and bragged. She was always talking about her last days, promising all her children and grandchildren the same inheritance. Her children would sometimes mock her, murdering the English language pronunciation, words like aluminium. She once described a sodomy as simonizing. Yet, as she picked up their learning tab and donated the time to teach them the correct way. In her golden years, she followed Wall Street and loved O'Reilly and Hannity. I wonder why. As soon as there was breaking news, I heard it first. She became disillusioned with the Kennedys, and when I told her McCain was meeting with Tom Flagburn at Daschle in Arizona, she said, "He's a sore loser. Poor Bush." Her husband passed on when he was 80. She lied about her age when they got married. He always thought he married a younger woman, but she got Social Security before he did. Now she's 91, and for the first time since she gave birth to her fifth child, she's in a hospital. She has a touch of pneumonia. Her kidneys are failing. Her breathing is labored, and she feels sorry for those who die alone. She is the last of her family of three brothers and a sister. Yesterday she was counting out tip money for the help. Today she's making sure no one gets stuck with the bills. The rent for June is paid. The electric and phone are paid. Her instructions are do not resuscitate. And even at this hour, she is sharp and joking. She is looking forward to eternal rest and says over and over, "I had a good life." Even to the end, she is a doting mother. 2 hours before she leaves, I hum her the same favorite lullaby she used to sing me to sleep with. As she gets ready to sleep, as she tells me words every man longs to hear, "I love you, son." I kiss the hand that blessed me. Now it is I who turns out the light and says, "Good night, sleep tight. God bless you, Mom." So, let me break for a tune, and then I'll cheer you up.
Been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing in a song time. The banjo's running soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. How I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X. I even know my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X. I even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee. So
we're back. Okay. Let's see where we are. The Spirit of America Party declares General Order issued 5/12/02, Mother's Day, from now to the end of time, all mothers attending any function must be announced prior to announcing presidents, princes, and any official. After the trumpets are finished hailing the introduction, the announcer will begin with the following words. It is with a deep sense of pride and overwhelming joy that we introduce Her Highness, and then you insert her maiden name, then insert the married name, mother of, then list the names of her children, and finally include her titles, the customary titles bestowed upon her by a grateful nation. Secretary of Defense, Health, Education, and Welfare, Secretary of Transportation, and the Treasury, and the Keeper of the Royal Flame, and you can insert the husband's name. And then the audience gives a 3 cheers and says amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I got a mom, you got a mom, even the imam has a mom. No one escapes this truth. Everyone has a real mom. Not a fake mom, not a politically correct mom, but a real flesh and blood mom. One who is capable of breastfeeding and passing on her genes to you, but not on Time magazine. Today, the heretics declare Mother's Day should not be discussed in school because you might offend a frog or a gerbil or an oil-guzzling caribou. When did we agree to minority rule? When was the last time you heard someone say, you'll never be the man your mother was? The Ayatollah, the truth, declares a fatwa on those who oppose Mother's Day. Let them drink camel's milk from a dog. If you're out there without a mother, just remember that once she saved your life, and you are the living proof. It is up to you to succeed and make the most of the best that she gave you, and improve on all genetic weaknesses. If you are adopted, you are twice blessed. A mother gives you life, and the mother blesses you. So, I just lost my place in my book. Let me just get back here. Bear with me. It's not that big a chapter. Let's see what it says. So, no matter what obstacles are in your way, if you're adopted, you are twice blessed. The mother gives you life and gets you to first base. The home run is up to you. So no matter what obstacles are in the way, you can overcome them. So happy Mother's Day. Say a prayer for Mom. God loves mothers. He has a mommy also. Mami Wakba. No one is as brave as Mom. Moms have cast iron stomachs. Hey, Mom, this green cereal doesn't taste right. Let me taste. Yum. There's nothing wrong with it. Deja vu to you. The study results of why men are afraid to commit are in the official study written by a woman of Middle Eastern descent who was sold into marriage at the early age of 9. And she points out that men are reluctant to wed because they don't have to buy the camel when the milk is free. Besides, who can live with a liberated camel? The second reason is fear of a cash-out divorce. But the Ayatollah, the truth, the keeper of the royal flame, Mrs. Flame, will open the truth genie's bottle and let the wedding favors fall where they may. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Men won't tell you. But the real reason is they want to marry a virgin. They get embarrassed when they announce their engagement to a Sex and a City girl because other guys are looking up in the air and smirking like John the Monkey. Stuart. Who wants to hear some wailing wuss make the statement, okay, from here on in, it's no heggies. Remember when you found something you didn't want to share it, you called no heggies? Men are territorial, just like dogs. They mark their territory. That tells other contenders to stay away. You can have that leftover heifer over there, but this one belongs to the Barbie True. Who wants to come home from a hard day's work and find all your friends are sitting in the living room straightening out their underwear? And leaving is saying, we just stopped in to say hello. That give up the booty routine worked when Prince Charming was a squeeze pirate. But now he is Sir Lancelot, the protector of fair lady. One argument that leads to lawyers is, look, you gotta trust me. Sorry, Weemaway, I know your track record. Surely the libertines will shout, what is good for the goose is good for the gander. That rule only applies if you're into ducks, and ducks marry for life. When was the last time you saw a duck cheating on his wife? Isn't the percentage of those who cheat the same as the divorce rate? My wife and I have an open marriage. I cheat, she opens my head. Besides, there's no snooze alarm on a 4 a.m. waking a frying pan. Guys do some stupid things. Remember the Saturday night dead comedian with a college degree who came home and told his drug addict wife he was divorcing her and he was going up to take a nap and did not want to be disturbed? May he rest in peace. The truth of the matter is, the inconsiderate male chauvinist pig will never tell you that he believes in his baseball-loving heart that the pitcher needs lots of practice, but the catcher just needs a mask, a chest protector, and shin guards. So if you want to get a winner, girls, play impossible to get until he worships the mound you walk on. Get him to the bottom of the ninth, two out and nobody on, and then only then, after the wedding, play ball. As for the divorce cloud, show me a happily married lawyer. It only appears on the horizon if you're not true to each other. If that is the case, the lawyer should go along on the honeymoon. First is the towel man, and later to serve the papers. The courtroom should be in the same wedding hall with all the same guests, and the bride and the groom have to give the envelopes back plus a 10% disappointment bonus. Then both bride and groom have to tell the guests all the reasons why it didn't work out, and next, by secret ballot, the guests fix the blame on the two worst of the lovebirds, followed by a Bronx cheer and the bums rush. And if you don't believe my theory about virginity, just go to any car dealer and see who is buying new and who is buying used. Listen to the used buyer whine and complain. The single most important decision you will ever make in your whole life is your partner in paradise on earth. And the old rules are the best. In sickness and in health, for better and for worse, until death do us part. I love you. Better than that you can't get unless, like me, you slip Father O'Malley $5 to add the Bible words, go now and be subject to him. Yeah, okay, we'll take a break and come back. How much time we got? We got 32 minutes. Just hang in there. I'll give you a quick tune. I'm a polar.
Guitars would softly play. The tune seemed to dance round the words that he'd say. Amapola, my pretty little poppy, you're like that lovely flower, so and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to be a rhapsody. Amapola, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing charms from you. Amapola, Amapola, how I long to hear you say, I love you. Thank you.
I found you. My heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to be a rhapsody. Amapola, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing charms from you. Amapola, Amapola, I long to hear you say, I love you.
Remember when Mom stayed home? If you wanted to do something you were not supposed to do, you had to find a kid whose mom was not home. If you look at kids today, you feel sorry for them because they are lost souls. They're being raised by TV ratings, Hollywood morals, and a money-hungry media with an agenda. Look at the school shootings. Look at sex ed. If you want to send your kid to learn how to roll a joint or a condom, don't waste your time or money. Just send him to a cigar factory or a stud farm. Let him help El Toro or Blue Lightning get mounted. At least we'll have somebody in the winner's circle and meat on the table. Under the Sexual Abuse Act of the First Amendment, we now have eighth graders playing presidential oral office in front of a sleeping teacher. I got news for you. It's fifth grade, guys. Always sex, fifth grade. Under the Sexual Abuse Act, it used to be clean, a doctor and nurse. And it was after school, and all you got was a prescription of Red Hots, the candies. It is the reality of that old joke when a father says to a son, I buy you books, I send you to school, and what do? You screw the teacher. When Babu Yui and I grew up, kids got plenty of attention and counseling. If you broke the family law, you got the family merengue warning that made you dance. You have the right to remain silent, shut up. You have the right to first aid and a stretcher. If you cannot afford a taxi to the hospital, don't look at me. You brought this on yourself. Most mothers could stay home with their children, and dads worked hard except Sundays. And if you sat down at the dinner and forgot your manners, you got to eat the turkey from the inside. The death sentence for high crimes and misdemeanors was carried out by the Lord High Executioner, always arriving home from work at the same time and the same day as the trial. And Mom was the prosecution and the defense. And the writ of habeas corpus was presented to my father at the door with the following words, you have no idea what I went through today. A gruesome feeling ran through my brothers and my body watching the smile withdraw from Dad's rapidly changing, fur-growing face. We could hear a lone wolf howling in the distance. I see the mark of the pentagram as my mother is transformed into the gypsy woman, Maria Ospenskaya. My brother and I become the sons of Lon Chaney. We know this routine already. That is why we show up at the door with handfuls of toilet paper, because we have to clean up after Dad kicks the shit out of us. Spare the rod and spoil a child? What's the rule for a guy that uses a hurling stick? That's a hockey stick that's been cut down. Now, Mom changes roles and swings into the defense mode. That's enough, Dad. You're working up too much of a sweat. You'll get pneumonia. People, besides, they have learned their lesson, and they'll apologize when they come to. So if you're starting to make trouble early in the day, you are forewarned with the mother's Miranda. Just wait until your father gets home. Really serious infringements require 2 days' notice to build a gallows. I often wondered if I was really the oldest or just the first to get this far. I did not even know my first name until I made my confirmation. Up until then, I was the big fella, and my brother was the other jerk. When two brothers slug it out, and here you get, I went to a baseball game the other day, you know, T-ball, the kids, all the parents are telling me, oh, you're the greatest. You're the greatest, son. You're the greatest. There's nobody better than you. And that wasn't the training that we got growing up. Not the big fella and the other jerk. So, when two brothers slug it out, It has all the trappings of Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Jake LaMotta, Cain and Abel, The Swedish Angel, Primo Canera, Jamboree. Sparks are flying as my brother and I roll around the house, locked in the Javaro death grip. And Ma's trying to break it up, but to no avail. This is a fight to the death. Time out. Ma just sunk to the floor with a heart attack. Start praying, brother. We have to break the bad news to Dad so he can continue to tell the police he came home and found three bodies. Please, Ma, don't die. If you die, we die. One eye opens up. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You almost gave your mother a heart attack. Now comes the coup de grace. Wait till your father comes home. In the background, you can hear a lonely bugler playing taps, a piper singing. Did they beat the drums lowly? Did they play the pipes slowly as they lowered you down? Okay, Mom, we'll be good. Mom says it's a little late for that. The ink is already dry on the death warrants. Hey, Ma, is there anything we can do to make your day easier? Imagine kids trying to con the mom. Huh? Can we help around the house? We become willing slaves to save ourselves. That buys Mom some peace and quiet until the mantle clock chimes five. And then the goalie from hell blocks the front door. Hi, Dad. How's it going? Remember us? We're the good kids. We're the visions of sugar plums and dancing boys. Oh, yes, we're going to make it. We're almost home free. Then Ma, with a Waffen SS smile, says, guess what these two did today? And Dad's smile is erasing, and lightning and forehead thunder is fast forwarding. Ma gives us a long look, which says, you owe me big time forever. They were very good today, Dad. Yeah, release the doves. Neighborhood mothers for years have been using a newly discovered corporate technique to watch kids. It's called networking. Let's say you play 15 big city blocks away from where you live. That's a whole other world. Nobody knows you, and you are accountable to no one. You could be Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan rolled into one. I answer to no one. Almost true until this woman says, don't I know you? Aren't you Mrs. So-and-so's son? I know her very well. How is your mom? Back into the iron mask. Time to put the halo back on and squirm like a jellyfish. This is how it works. No matter where you go or what you do, you have been bagged and tagged. Humbug. Just a lucky discovery. Hi, Mom. Home. What's for dinner? Mom replies, I will tell you. After you wash the axle grease off those new dungarees I just paid good money for. Did you think I was going to find out that you were down on Dyckman Street, jumping on the back of 40-foot tractor trailer, stealing a ride? Whatever possessed you to think that the driver of that new car carrier was going to stop for the red light and let you off before going over the George Washington Bridge? Mrs. O'Malley saw you on Dyckman Street. Mrs. O'Rourke saw you hanging on the truck and heading downtown to 189th Street. Mrs. Lynch saw you roll off the truck at 179th Street. Thank God the neighbors in Fort Lee did not see you coming over the bridge in your new dungarees. Oh, the shame of it. You could have been killed. And worse, you would have embarrassed me in front of the neighbors. Now comes the death sentence announcement. Wait until your father gets home. In my mind, the pipe band starts up. First the drums, then as the air goes into the pipe bags, and thus begins the melody of the minstrel boy. In the ranks of death you will find him. Then other gruesome words flash across my subconscious mental bulletin board. Words like torn asunder and the foeman's chain. A couple of years later, the house surgeon general caught me with a pack of Chesterfields. I decided to skip town rather than wait for the Marquis of Queensberry to come home. So I escaped solitary and joined my boys hanging out on the corner. I asked, anyone want to run away from home? And they replied, why don't you take your old man? He's standing right behind you. Now it's time to pay for mutiny on the bounty. 20 years before the mast, Mom is saying, give him the full 40 lashes, Mr. Christian. But, or Captain Bly, really, but just for smoking cigarettes. And today, as kindergarten kids get off the bus, the teachers are loading them up with Ritalin. He was too active. We had to get him under control. They're being drugged, cloned, aborted, created in a Petri dish, rushed into early morning sickness and sexual experience. And now if you fail to come home not wearing your cucumber condom, you have to stand in the corner of the classroom with your pants down while your classmates boo, whistle, and call you shorty. You hope your parents will stay together till the end of the month. You listen to advice like, don't do the drugs I do, do what I say. Here, sit in front of the TV, get your brain laundered. Let's watch the squabble show. Who's trashing the trash today? Body snatchers fighting over morbid Dale Earnhardt crash photos. A guy with a bad hat and a bad face with hypodermic needles for fingers. A guy with a hockey mask slicing and dicing, stalking violence and terrorism against women. Shoot 'em up, cut 'em up, chop 'em up. Police made to look like jerks as their vehicles flip. Watch someone real steal your girl on national TV. No subliminal messages here like the word rat in Democrat. Test the theory for yourself and go to a theater showing Saving Private Ryan. In one of the opening beach landing scenes, a soldier is staggering around with his guts in his hands. Listen to the laughter of the kids. It is called conditioning. Rudeness and disrespect are in vogue. Women talk tougher than men. Before my eyes, I cannot believe my ears. A beautiful woman, extremely fashionably dressed, gets out of a Mercedes with a beautiful 5-year-old daughter, dressed just as fashionable. I say to myself, what class? The little one runs from the car to look in a store window. The mother screams out, come back here, you little bitch. Don't you ever run away from me again. If this is how she deals with the child in public, what happens in private? Maybe it is not the air in Colorado. Maybe it's not the air in Virginia Tech. 30 seconds after one network station pioneered the word ass on TV, all the other major networks followed suit in monologues, talk shows, and skits to be competitive. Now we're up to piss. What happens when we break the FU barrier? I just saw a YouTube interview of Jonathan Winters, and he's coming towards the twilight of his years. And that's a nice way of saying the end of the trail. And he said, I never said the FU word. They tried to make me say it, and I refused to do it. How's that? And he misses his wife. He misses his mom. She's been gone 2 years. And he grieves every day. And that's what one man, a one-woman marriage does. Will they change the Emmy to the golden enema bag? 27 felons played in the Super Bowl. Baseball heroes can't beat the drug habit. And that is why we need to legalize it so we can move on down. Next month, we can use the same argument for second-degree murder. If you want to find a role model to look up to, soon you'll have to go to the Smithsonian. But for now, let's go back to the all-American good guy. I'll take a break and then I'll tell you about Baby Yui. I'll give you another tune. This is American Elvis.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains,
majesty above the fruity plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Okay, so we'll tell you about Baby Huey. Baby Huey worked. There was a group of guys, and Baby Huey got his name because he hung around with a guy named Donald, and they called him Uncle Donald. And it was Donald Duck, and Baby Huey was one of the ducklings. Baby Huey worked one summer in the Catskills as a busboy. He was waiting on a large table of show-offs, rude talk down to the help people, putting down the servant class and berating Baby Huey with his inefficiencies, threatening to have him fired using the squeaking wheel theory. Baby Huey believes that theory with a slight variation. The squeaking wheel gets the butter, all the butter smeared in the squeaking face. Whereupon Baby Huey tenders his resignation. That's what he did. God bless Baby Huey. And Baby Huey's in his 60s now, but I remember him as a teenager. A really wild and crazy guy, but smart enough to stay out of trouble. He loved swimming, whether it was jumping out a warehouse window into the downtown Hudson River or jumping off the Henry Hudson cliffs for the tourists on the Circle Line. He loved making people laugh. If you told one good joke, he could rebound with six. He was the product of a nun's best effort to save him from hell, and thank you, sister, it paid off. One of his favorite stories was being betrayed by a girl in the fifth grade during Lent. Downstairs from the school was a candy store, and the owner used to have to get an Easter bridge loan during Lent. All the candy money went to the missions, and they held fundraising contests, class versus class. Well, Mary Agnes Sullivan blew the whistle on Baby Huey. Sister, I saw Baby Huey downstairs in the pagan candy store buying Goldenberg's peanut chews and a Mission Bell orange soda, and that's the 20 cents that prevented us from being number one in the whole school. It would have been better if he had accidentally murdered the 12 apostles and stood trial. And some say Sister Angelica hung him upside down in the cloakroom, on the cloakroom hooks. Only Catholic schools have cloakrooms. It goes back to the Spanish Inquisition. This way, all the kids getting their coats to go home would be reminded that the wages of sin must go to the missions. Later, on this valuable lesson would give rise to a spirit of machismo. When in boot camp years later, a drill sergeant, recognizing his New York accent, threatened to break him as an example to the rest of the platoon, whereupon Baby Huey confidently replied, "Do your worst, Sergeant. I've been to Catholic school." And that prompted the sergeant to ask in a nervous whisper, "D- Do you know Mother Angelica too? One thing for sure, if you were with baby Huey, you were guaranteed a quick laugh and improvisational. We grew up in a hard-working Irish, Italian, German, World War II refugees, Jewish, Armenian, Greek, Chinese, American neighborhood, all deeply religious people with their synagogues and churches. As the melting pot had kept it growing, we began to see an influx of Puerto Ricans. That was okay by me. I learned to mambo. And when they called me El Grande Maricón, I thought they were trying to describe me as a great American. Another pal of ours was nicknamed Super Jew, and he tried to date a senorita, but all he managed to get was her name, Betty Carajo. In Spanish, that means go to hell. Now, do you know how to say coffee in French cruller in Spanish? One coffee and a ooh-la-la. How about 2 francs and 2 cokes? That's easy. One frankfurter and Coca-Cola 2 times. Well, as we all know, all immigrant groups are subjected to derision and ridicule. So one Spanish rose evening, we're standing outside the local Irish pub, and a drunk comes staggering up and says, "Hey, fellas, can you help a guy out with a buck for a meal I haven't eaten in days?" So baby Huey looks at me and fakes as speaking Spanish, as starting with un briago, blah, 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 to which I respond, mucho caliente, ignoring the drunk. The drunk is persistent. He rubs his stomach and he says, "Hungry, amigos, hungry." Nevertheless, to say the meal money is not going for a meal. This gives a baby Huey a second opportunity to practice his pidgin Spanish, giving the gringo version of Bamarabatiri con limpe. In frustration, the drunk turns to me and re-rubs his stomach once again. "Hungry, amigos." "Oh, yo comprende. You got a tummy ache." Which earns the reply as he walks away, "F you, you Puerto Rican bastard." Baby Huey loved to upset his own kind also. On any Sunday morning when the greenhorns were crossing St. Nicholas Avenue, even the streets were blessed. A quick lesson. A greenhorn is an Irishman just off the boat, as compared to a narrowback that's a born-in USA Irishman, not as sturdy and solid. You cannot miss a greenhorn coming from church on a summer Sunday morning, dressed in a white shirt with long sleeves rolled up to the muscle, folded 2 inches wide, puffing like a chimney on a cig that never leaves his lips, black wool pants with a brown belt and brown shoes to match the belt, and a big red Irish face. And one of them is caught in the middle of the street looking up and down, and here comes baby Huey in his motor car. Just misses him and shouts out the window, "Why don't you watch where you're going, you goddamn Jew?" 30 blocks away, you can hear, "Come back here, you bastard, I'll give you a Jew." Speaking of clothes to match, my mother told me, never trust a man who wears brown shoes with a blue suit. Have you seen the new guy on Fox? As moronic as that seems, check it out. I don't remember who the new guy was. So growing up in the old neighborhood, we were multilingual. It is with pride that I can tell you, I can say, don't shoot in 20 different languages, including Farsi and Punjabi. Baby Huey was a very economical guy. He was very frugal. I was his opposite. I would rather sip a $5 drink and watch a floor show, whereas baby Huey would say, "Do you know how many beers we can have with that kind of money?" To give you an idea, one night I convinced him and the boys to go to the Egyptian Gardens. It had a Greek bouzouki orchestra and 7 exotic oriental dancers wearing bubbles, bangles, and beads. Scheherazade's real name was O'Rourke, and she came from faraway Brooklyn. So what? Who cares? Unlike the fleshpots of today, there was an element of mystery and fantasy. Like in the song by the Coasters, Little Egypt, and caution, don't play it in front of liberated women unless you have a castration fetish. Belly dancing is truly an artful skill as compared to today, where they trot out the beef for jerky. Who wants to see raw meat on a healed hoof? Head him up, move him out, or rawhide. What's the pole for? Is she taking a fireman's test? No comparison to the Egyptian Gardens routine. The dancer entices and lures you into her world while men shower money on her and over her. Usually the club owner starts the sequence of events by throwing a handful of bills at her while she starts the dance. That's easy for him to do. He gets it back after the show. So, you know, going in to stock up on small bills, and baby Yui takes a ringside seat, and sure enough, across the floor spins Fatima, writhing and undulating with her eyes fastened on Sultan, a baby Yui. All around him, guys are throwing money, but Aramia, a baby Yui, sits firm, reserved, cool, calm, and uncollected. And now she moves in closer, eye to eye with His Highness. The infectious rhythm of the tambour and the wail of harem music is intoxicating. Unable to control himself any longer, beads of sweat breaking out on his forehead, with one hand fighting the other in a Dr. Strangelove grip, he forces open his wallet, pulls out his communion money, holds it in the air, and cries in desperation, "Has anyone got change from a five?" Swoosh, money all gone. One thing, hanging out with a large crowd of guys, after a while, everybody comes to accept each other's faults. If you're a bullshitter, your friends know it and accept you for what you are and tolerate you anyway. Pretty much like the relationship between the Clintons and the American people. Who, by the way, have you noticed the defense argument and tactic for taking payola has changed from "we did not do it" to "you can't prove it"? If this was a song, Janet Reno would be the background doing her impression of MC Hammer's "Can't Touch This." If Bill Public Trust was one of the boys, no one would believe him. But let's go back to Baby Frugal. Every crowd in every neighborhood, whether 20 blocks away or 20 countries, believes in the green grass theory. The girls always look better in someone else's neighborhood. In 2025, the conversation among the boys will be, "Man, did you see the headlights on those Marson chicks?" Well, all four of them. I especially like the top two blue ones. Nothing changes, only the participants. So Baby Yui, with yours truly, arranged to meet two New York lovelies in their Queens neighborhood. "Swell, this is going to be great," Baby Yui asks. "Girls, where would you like to go?" The girls pick the local club where they will parade us around as the catch of the day, making an inflammatory statement to the local guys. "See these jerks? They came all the way from Manhattan just to take us out because we are special." Sometimes this can lead to a mano-a-mano encounter, like the running of the bulls in Pamplona. But not tonight, because we are non-confrontational and ambulance-shy. So we sit ourselves down with one eye riveted on the two safest places in a bar if a fight breaks out. One, the exit, that you be the first out, and two, the ladies' room requires that you be the first in. This way the ladies hold off the guys are trying to get in the door. Worst case scenario, if a lynch mob tries to wait us out, we just change clothes with the girls. Besides, it is early and the natives haven't started to dance around the fire yet. Now for the Baby Yui lesson in economics. "Girls, rather than each of us buying a bottle of beer, may I suggest we get a pitcher? And we'll have more for the money." Then he goes into his weights and measures routine. The waiter comes over and says, "What will you have?" Before Baby Yui can say, "Pitcher," the girls chant, "We'll have banana daiquiris." Oh no, it's the crash of 29 all over again. Wall Street brokers are jumping out of windows holding banana daiquiris. Tonight was an education and out-of-your-element dating, culminating with, "We'd like to invite you home, but our nine brothers are sleeping because they have the 8-to-4 shift at the 78 precinct tomorrow, and they're very cranky because they had a lot of paperwork to do after shooting those two rapists yesterday 78 times. All the way home on the subway ride, I listened to Baby Yui lament, "No, they couldn't drink beer. They had to have daiquiris." So the moral of the story is, the savers are wiser, but spenders spread the wealth around, and that helps the economy. And New York working class people are the best tippers. So, now having said that, I'm going to sign off. We're coming down to 13 seconds. I'll leave you with a tune, because you're not going to church today, because it interferes with your busy schedule. And besides, God doesn't deserve a 1 hour a week. and you have to listen to the sermon, and it makes your eyes heavy. So, in honor of Mother's Day, here we go with an Ave Maria. Hang in. See if you can pray for an hour and eight, 1 minute and 18 seconds. Michelangelo's Pietà, where the body of Christ is draped over his mother's lap. You think about all those Gold Star mothers who never even got to hold their son for the last time. Remember that, and never forget. You are part of the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and it's your job to keep it great.